Hey, Game Slavers. Welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, Episode 76. Now, originally this podcast was about 35 minutes or so, but apparently Audacity hates me with a large intent, with a feverish passion, as you may say, because it didn't buffer the majority of the recording or something, and I lost about the first 25 minutes or so. I was slightly irritated at this, but nonetheless, we do have some of what we were talking about. Since we did have a foot contest last week, and that was mentioned in the first part, I will go ahead and reiterate who won that. Nobody. None of you even bothered to send the damn email. So, again, we caught a Nexon lanyard, and I'm going to go ahead and throw in the Dragon's Nest t-shirt as well for the code name of the N64 when it was being developed. Go ahead and send your answers to mail@thegameslave.com, and go ahead and put the subject contest in the email. In the meantime, go ahead and enjoy the rest of the podcast. It's mostly anime from the point that I remembered, starting off with Zelda Queen talking about Black Butler. Game on.
Family who runs the Phantom Hives, which basically the Queen says, go and do this for me. And he has to say, gladly, how would you like me to do it? So it's kind of weird seeing a little 12-year-old go around and do stuff.
It's Japanese anime. For some reason, preteens are always able to do anything some adult cannot.
Yes.
For example, drive a giant mecha. Apparently adults are completely inept at doing so, but yet the preteens and teens, they can save the world, no issue. Military, completely inept. Don't even know why they bother.
So yeah, but the animation is really nice with it, very smooth throughout the whole thing. It didn't cut any corners in any of the episodes. The only thing that bugs me is after watching it, you know how it's going to end. Especially if you know he fulfills the contract. Ooh, so, but what's bad is they have like a basically a bonus episode again on the end, and I'm kind of frankly tired of these bonus episodes, because it happens sometimes other in the time continuum before other characters die off, or certain other things happen, and so and it's always at the conclusion of the series, and it feels kind of extremely disjointed, especially this one. I actually kind of skipped it, because I tried watching it, and I was just like, this is so weird. Considering everything that's happened in the last couple of episodes, it just feels wrong.
Seems like they're all tacked on.
Yes. It's like, you could have just put this on before.
What was the other series we watched that did that to us?
Corpse Princess.
That's it. That made me... I was just like so confused when that episode started. I was like, but that one's dead. Like, really dead.
Yeah. So that's my biggest complaint. Trinity Blood, I've watched 2 episodes. I can't get any further right now. I find it very boring. And I usually like vampires and the occult and that sort of stuff. And this, I just cannot get into. Pretty characters can't make up for it. And pretty boring, like, you know how the episode's going to go and such. I mean, very formalmatic to the T. Summer's Burst Angel, I just can't. I find it cool that they actually have a character who wants to be a pastier?
A chef de pastier?
Yes, that's his ultimate goal in life, is to become a chef de pastier. He's going to a culinary school, and he wants to go study abroad in France, because we're all good, but he doesn't
pastry
have...
chef.
Yeah, he doesn't have enough money to do it, so he's taking this job by these gals who, I don't know what they do.
One is,
I know one's an alien.
One is bait, and then one drives the giant mecha, which she always has to go rescue said bait with.
And I think
the one chick is always getting captured. She's may as well just be bait.
Ah, so she's Princess Peach.
There you go.
Yeah, and Desert Punk, at least I found a little bit more amusing. About a guy who's really short, who's a bounty hunter, so a mercenary, who lives in the... Is it the Kyoto? Kyoto Desert in Japan?
I did not know there were deserts in Japan.
It's a very little one. Not very big.
Basically, we'll just say it's in the far future, and the desert's much larger now. And
the desert's basically over the entire world, so he basically covers up. He's like, he has this weird little helmet, and his mask, and his, poncho cloak thing, so you can't really tell what he looks like. I found it much more interesting.
Is it bearing any resemblance to the man with no name?
Maybe in the pawn show department. That's about it.
You have to give that one a watch. I think I actually bought it one day and then I just put it in my collection and left it there. I'm bad at doing that sometimes.
It's like me. I have a couple of movies in my collection. I haven't even taken them out of the shrink wrap. But I bought them, so I enjoyed watching them. But it's sometimes there's those movies that either A, you only have to watch once and you never have to watch it again.
Sixth Sense.
Or it's those movies that you should watch once in a great while. Like Braveheart, which is the one I saw in the shrink wrap. Because I just haven't found that other great, you haven't seen it.
Well, now you found that great once in a while.
Yeah.
Congratulations, yeah. Proteus.
You still have to watch. You watch God with the Wind, at least.
Sort of. More or less. I know what happens. I know that Scarlet is a horrible person. But so is Rhett, and they deserve each other.
I don't think they're necessarily terrible and horrible, but they both are kind of stubborn and pig-headed about what they want. But don't realize what they need.
Well, Scarlet married two men! Just to, like, get ahead. And then kind of, I think, marries Rhett to get ahead, too. But then realizes that he's an okay guy after all or something. I don't know.
It's a once-in-a-while movie, too, because it's so long.
I can see that.
Yeah, I finished my thesis watching it, so.
Anywho,
but that's, yeah.
Didn't you also watch the first episode of Nagima?
Oh, yes, I did. I'm sorry, I kind of purged that one from my memory.
Only because this person that voice actors Nagi uses the most high-pitched and annoying voice they possibly could.
He's trying to be British, too, because he studied in England as well.
He was born in Wales. So that's why the character's supposed to have a British accent.
But if he's
well,
Welsh,
then he should actually have a Welsh accent.
Which might be what they're trying to do instead. Which would make more sense. Because I'm like...
I've read the manga, so I know how it's supposed to work out. And it's easier to read the manga because you don't have horrible voice acting.
Oh, so something funny I learned today is that just because people are British doesn't mean they can do an Australian accent.
Oh, yes. We did learn that today.
How'd you learn that one today?
We watched an episode of Fry and Laurie, which is Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie doing sketch comedy with basically just the two of them.
Okay.
Which, if people watch Blackadder, you have an idea of who those guys are, and then just having the two of them by themselves is quite funny. Especially since, like, the first character that Hugh Laurie was doing was practically Prince George. Just in modern times, I guess, kind of.
Yes. But yeah, they can do Australian accents. It took me a while, and when you mentioned it, I was like, oh, okay, that explains the Christmas tree in summer.
And the Hawaiian shirts.
And when they're using weird slang, that I'm like, that's not British slang. But we digress again. But yeah, didn't really like, that's how you say it? I can't even say the anime's name.
Which one?
Nagami? Nagami?
Nagima.
Nagima. I'm sorry, even the name is terrible.
Well, I don't know. I think Ma may be some allusion to magic, but the main character's name is Negi.
And he's like a middle school kid who gets to go teach other middle school kids in
Japan.
He's
not even a middle school kid. He's 10.
Okay, he's even younger, but he gets to teach middle school girls.
So in other words, this is like the ultimate Harry Potter, Mary Sue... You know, fan fiction, isn't it?
Except that...
Well, it's done by the same guy that did Love, Hina.
I haven't seen Love, Hina. I've heard good things about Love, Hina, but I've never seen it.
It's not bad. The manga's better. The manga makes more sense than the anime, I thought, at least. Of course, they, you know, they have more time to do that stuff out, and the mangas need a traditionally much lower production budget.
Yes.
If I finish two more panels, I'll get to eat this week!
And let's see. And then I went and saw Green Lantern last week. It's not as bad as all the critics say it is, but it does suffer a few problems. If you haven't ever read any of the comics or know any of the background, some of the stuff they do makes no sense whatsoever. Are you guys gonna go see the movie anytime soon?
I don't have any real desire, unfortunately.
Okay, so spoiler alert. There's a portion where the big baddie Parallax, we need to start with Parallax. They changed him from the comics, the way he is in the comics, to the way he is in the movie. In the comics, he is a creature born when the first creature feared. He is literally made of fear. And hence the yellow power. He's trapped in the power battery, and that's why Green Lantern drinks don't work on yellow. It's because the fear infests their will and causes the issue. In the movie, the Guardians were actually toying with the power of fear to use along with the power of will in order to empower the Lanterns in order to fight good. Found out it was dangerous and decided not to. One of the Guardians said, "No, I disagree." Took the power into him and became Parallax. So they changed how the main villain of the entire series came into being. Which also screws with how stuff happens in the future, is supposed to happen in the future. And then there's a scene where Hal Jordan is saying, "Let me go fight for my planet," when at no time in the entire movie have they actually said, "You cannot go do this." It's like, "Let me go do the thing you haven't told me I can't do." What was the purpose of this speech?
Show that I will defend my planet!
And then...
patriotism!
They created a yellow power ring to try and use against Parallax, which they didn't need. And then at the end of the movie, they show Sinestro putting it on. If you know anything about the comics, that makes perfect sense. Because Sinestro got banned from the corpse.
He found the
Sinestro corpse.
Yeah.
And the way he did that was he got branded a rogue lantern for using his power ring in order to enforce law and order on his planet. Got trapped in the power battery with Parallax, who he then had infest Hal Jordan when his home city got attacked. Hal Jordan then destroys the Green Lantern corpse, and then restarts the Son of Earth and brings back Coast City, killing him in the process, but then he's brought back to life.
God, I hate comics!
Anywho, in here...
In manga, they don't reset things usually. It's like, that's it, we're not doing it anymore.
Here in the movie... Sinestro, perfectly good guy. They give you no lead-up whatsoever to why he puts on the power ring at the end of the movie. He just puts it on. No reason of whatsoever.
This is pretty and shiny. I'm gonna wear it!
And then he's on, you know, the Sinestro Corps uniform, but they give you no reason for him to have done that. Because up until that point, he is the model Green Lantern. He hasn't been called out. He hasn't been, you know, a rogue yet. He just puts the ring on for no reason. Yeah. So, I mean, overall, I don't mind the movie, but there's just little stuff like that. It's like, why? So, yeah. I'd probably wait for a rental on that one, but I did enjoy it.
Only one I'm looking forward to right now is Harry Potter.
And then, yeah, that's about all I have.
Yeah, we get to have, like, 5 billion characters killed off screen.
Yes.
So does everybody just die in the last movie?
No,
a lot of people die, and most of any of the good, like, good guy kind of characters have, you know, really, like, very brief off-screen deaths, basically, in the books. And it's like, we couldn't actually write them a proper scene?
Yeah. You're left to imagine. We just see one. One is described. I won't say what, though.
So is it usually like, where's so-and-so? He's been killed. Yeah. That's all I get?
Mostly it's, you see so-and-so's, you know...
Corpse.
We won't say who, because you guys haven't seen. You haven't read, so you don't know. You don't know. Won't spoil it for you.
That's fine. I still actually need to watch Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Well, you might want to do that before you go see the other one.
It might help make sense.
I'll do it eventually. I'll check you. I'll see if it's on Netflix.
It's only available on DVD. I can tell you that right now.
I'll probably check it for my parents then. Anywho, so. You guys got anything else?
Nope.
Okay, so. Feel free to go ahead and visit the website, thegameslave.com. Check out our store, which you can find a link to. And if you would like to register for our forums or to post comments under a name that you know is expressly yours and not somebody else just saying it, send an email to mail@thegameslave.com with what you would like your username to be. In the subject, go ahead and put registration on there. That way I know that's specifically what it's for. In the meantime, you guys can send questions and comments to that same address, mail@thegameslave.com. And game on!
Game on!
Game on!